Governor Walker, Love Him or Hate Him. That's the title of the first installment of a three-part series on Governor Walker that is being released by the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism this week. We will discuss the personality and governing style of Governor Walker with reporter Bill Leaders coming up in the second half of our State Capitol Report. We will start with the very latest State Capitol news with Wisconsin Public Radio State Government reporter Sean Johnson. I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, January the 9th. I was off last week thanks to Jean Purcell for filling in for me, but since I didn't travel anywhere when I was on vacation, I stayed home. And since I usually don't unplug when I'm on vacation anyway, I was able to keep up with a lot of developments in state politics last week, and I'm looking forward to having Sean Johnson fill us in on all the details. I hope you will join in as we talk about the arrests that were made in the John Doe investigation last week, the ruling by a Waukesha County judge on what the Government Accountability Board must do when it comes to recall signatures, and more at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Joy.
No rest for the weary.
No.
It's been busy. Let's start with that John Doe investigation and the arrests that were made last week. Who was arrested and what? Why?
Three people were arrested. Timothy Russell, who is a longtime aide to the governor, worked for his campaign for county executive, worked for him in a number of capacities when Walker was county executive at the county. Also, Kevin Kavanaugh, who ran a military or veterans charity organization in Milwaukee, the Military Order of the Purple Heart, Milwaukee chapter, and Brian Pirick, who is Timothy Russell's partner. The 40,000-foot view here is... We had known this John Doe investigation had been ongoing for a while now. It's surfaced from time to time. You had a top aide to the governor have her home raided. The governor's spokesman had a criminal immunity agreement. And so there's been a lot of speculation going for, you know, many months now as to what exactly is going on here. And so when you have the DA say that we're going to announce some arrests, everybody's wondering, who's this going to touch? How is it going to go? And the DA's press conference was very brief, 5 minutes or less. Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm, the one point that he really hit home at the end is that his office is not leaking any information, he said. And he says that they don't have an agenda, and he made a point that these particular charges, which were part of a larger John Doe investigation, but these particular charges were brought to his office by then County Executive Scott Walker's chief of staff.
We go where the evidence leads, and partisan politics plays no role in any decision made by this office. We did not independently initiate this investigation. It was brought to us by the previous County Executive's administration.
And as you can imagine, when the governor was asked about this investigation, that was the point that he hit home on a couple occasions last week.
After repeated attempts to get access to their financial records through my office when I was the county executive, we ultimately had my then chief of staff contact the DA's office. And obviously they spent a fair amount of time, and we appreciate the effort. They looked into this, and glad that they were able to look and take action on it. But again, obviously disappointed that anyone, no matter what their position had been in the past, would take advantage of money that was supposed to be helping veterans, their families, and military personnel.
And the Democratic Party, as you can imagine, Chair Mike Tate had a different take and said that Governor Walker claiming credit for this was disingenuous.
His self-serving explanation is like the arsonist seeking praise for lighting a fire and then calling the fire department.
All right, so I think it kind of helps if you look at this. It was sort of presented as these three cases, which were all linked together. The most shocking stuff in these cases, well, there's a lot of shocking stuff in these cases, but you have an example of two people who were arrested for allegedly embezzling charitable donations that had been set aside for veterans or families of military members who were killed in service. You know, some ugly allegations in there. But really, they're linked, I mean, they're very much separate complaints. And it just helps to kind of walk through them first.
Yeah, well, that's just – so we have two of these arrests have to do with this the money that was meant for charitable causes.
Yeah.
And the other arrest, though, was a very odd arrest of that's not a it wasn't involving county government.
It was not, but even the two arrests that involved the money that was set aside for veterans, that you get the impression that those two people were working hand in hand when in fact they happened at different times according to these complaints. So the first arrest was Kevin Kavanaugh. And the district attorney's office laid out in his complaint, Kevin Kavanaugh was running the Milwaukee chapter of the Military Order of the Purple Heart. The county executive's office at the time was running this charity called Operation Freedom, where they collect private donations and then put on this charity event for veterans, a 4th of July picnic every summer. They decide that they want, as this gets bigger, they want someone else to be running it, paying the bills. And so they tap the Milwaukee chapter of the Military Order of the Purple Heart, Kevin Kavanaugh. Kevin Kavanaugh, according to the complaint, allegedly embezzles thousands of dollars worth of these Operation Freedom funds. He's not only embezzling, according to the complaint, these funds. He's allegedly embezzling funds from several other sources that were designed to go to charity. For example, then State Representative Mark Gundrum's legislative salary, which was he had set aside to go to families of military members who were killed in service. Kevin Kavanaugh is allegedly embezzling this money too. So this is where the tip comes in. This is where, according to the complaint, the governor's then chief of staff in Milwaukee County government tips off investigators that we think some money is missing from our books, and this organization is not being forthright with us. So the DA investigates this based on that. The Timothy Russell stuff happens later. So after the Military Order of Purple Heart has troubles, county executive's office decides, we're done dealing with you. We're going to hand this off now to the American Legion. The American Legion runs this for a while. According to the complaint, they have exemplary financial records. And then in 2009, then County Executive Scott Walker issues an executive order saying, we're now going to turn it over to this other organization, which is a corporation, a 501c3 run by Tim Russell. Tim Russell, longtime Walker aide. There's certainly not a detailed explanation as to why the governor's doing this. Then County Executive Walker is doing this. And this corporation, according to the complaint by the district attorney's office, is essentially a dummy corporation. There's no real board of directors, no corporate records. And, essentially, you can think of this corporation as Timothy Russell. He has control of the account. And allegedly, according to the complaint by the district attorney's office, more than 50 cents of every dollar that comes in through Operation Freedom to Timothy Russell, he uses for his own personal use. He goes on vacation to Hawaii, to Jamaica, goes down to see then prospective presidential candidate Herman Cain at a meeting, along with a number of other people. He's diverting all this money that had been set aside for veterans.
Didn't he also, isn't he also alleged to have used some of this money on Republican websites?
Yeah, he used, according to the complaint, he was using money directly from this account, the allegedly embezzled funds. He's using them to pay for sites that are like scottforgov.com.net. They aren't the governor's official campaign websites, but obviously Scott for Gov. That's at the time Scott Walker's running for governor. Timothy Russell, at least, envisions these as sites to help the governor. And this is something where the Democratic Party has filed a complaint against the governor, saying you didn't report this as an in-kind contribution. The governor's campaign has said these were not our campaign websites. We didn't authorize this money.
The third arrest was the partner of Tim Russell.
Yeah, this is the one that, you know, certainly no connection to embezzling military funds, but Brian Pierick was arrested for enticing a minor to expose their sex organ. And this is something where investigators found this through the course of reviewing phone records and computers that were seized from Tim Russell's home. And on these, they find these chats between Brian Pierick and someone who is saying that he was 18, but in fact was a minor living at his parents' home. And this is pretty graphic, very graphic complaint there, especially in the chats.
Yeah.
But it also, you know, it discusses Tim Russell within that complaint, but he's not charged with anything there.
So just sort of summing all of this up, mm-hmm. we have the governor saying, my chief of staff at the time alerted authorities
right.
to some kind of funny business here.
And he did for Kevin Kavanaugh. And then you have a period where this money for veterans goes to the American Legion, and then County Executive Walker turns it over to Tim Russell. And Tim Russell, if you read the complaints, I mean, this is a separate crime. It's not something where he's working hand-in-hand with Kevin Kavanaugh. It's like Tim Russell, on his own, independently, starts to siphon off these funds, allegedly, for his own personal use.
And so the Democratic Party filed the complaint saying the governor should have reported
right.
Tim Russell making those websites and that
yes.
sort of thing. And where does this is this it then? Is the John Doe over?
The DA said that this investigation is ongoing. And, you know, what that means, we don't know. And it appears, if you read the text of the complaints, that this was not the focus of their John Doe investigation. You know, it's not why they opened it, that they investigated it through an existing John Doe. And they've come forward with it because they have, I mean, they're making the charges.
We're talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about the latest in state politics, talking now about the twists and turns in this John Doe investigation and the three arrests that occurred last week. We will also talk about a Waukesha County judge ruling on the recall petition signatures and much more. If you have a question or a reaction, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking the weather forecast for today, becoming mostly sunny. Highs will be in the upper 30s in the north to the upper 40s in the south. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up in our State Capitol Report after the 7:30 news, Bill Leaders will join us with the insight he gained putting together a three-part series on Governor Walker that is being released this week by the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. That's after the 7:30 news. Until then, Wisconsin Public Radio, Sean Johnson is with us, bringing us up to date on other issues in state politics. We just talked about the John Doe investigation and the latest on that. Anything else on that, John? Is the Democratic Party saying that the governor is somehow involved with what happened with those military funds, or are they just accusing him of having bad judgment, or what?
You know, I think right now their comments have stopped at bad judgment and what are you doing putting, you know, Tim Russell, sort of a political animal, in these positions in the county executive office in the first place and then in charge of these funds. But, yeah, the governor has not been charged with any wrongdoing.
Okay. Let's move on to the GAB, the Waukesha County judge who told the GAB that the GAB needs to invalidate signatures like Bugs Bunny, not the Walker campaign.
Yeah, I think Mickey Mouse was the example everybody was using before this hearing.
But, and then it became Bugs Bunny.
But Judge Mac Davis has brought Bugs Bunny back. And this is, the Walker campaign was saying that the Government Accountability Board was basically not doing its job because it's sort of the standard operating procedure of the board. It was last year during the recalls, has been in the past, to, while they might flag signatures that are duplicates or that are obviously fictional, it's up to the campaigns to call for you know, their removal, to call to strike them. The Walker campaign said, you know, that that leads to the possibility where you have Mickey Mouse appear on a recall signature if the campaign doesn't strike it. That argument carried weight with Waukesha County Judge Mac Davis.
Counting a signature of Bugs Bunny is something only lawyers could try to make seem okay.
So what does this mean for the recall? I don't know in terms of the legal fight. The thing with Judge Davis is while he did, you know, very much rhetorically side with the Walker campaign on this one, he left the Government Accountability Board quite a bit of wiggle room. He said that they have to strike fictitious names, duplicate names, or names where there's, you know, no known address. But if you listen to the sort of qualifiers that he puts behind that, you see that there's some room for the board to, to do this.
The defendant must take all reasonable steps to affirmatively protect the rights of electors in recall races and reviews. That obligation is limited by the resources and ability that they have or are reasonably able to obtain.
So you hear those words? Reasonable. If the Government Accountability Board staff says we were working around the clock and we didn't catch this, that would probably fall into the reasonable category. If they say, look, we would have caught this if we had more staff, Judge Davis says, okay, if you're limited by your resources, that's another way that you don't have to do this stuff. Or if the legislature doesn't approve extra funding for them, you know, by their ability to obtain, you know, there's sort of off ramps there for the Government Accountability Board if they can't catch everything.
Are the recall organizers okay with this ruling, or are any appeals?
I heard no one protest too loudly over this one. Democrats say that they're going to be able to get the signatures they need. I mean, that they'll have more than enough signatures, and that it's in their best interest to be checking the validity of these signatures, checking for duplicates. As they turn them in, and this is the last week for circulating recall petitions. They're going to turn them in next Monday.
Next Monday?
Tuesday.
A week from tomorrow,
hold on.
I think.
Yeah, the 17th. Mm-hmm. So they stop circulating this Friday, but then, you know, they don't turn it in over the weekend. So that'll be in next week.
The fake recall that was going on has ended as well. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, but there was, before the Democrats started their recall on November 15th, there was somebody who had given very, you know, small donations to the governor to Republicans, who started a recall on November 4th, the first day that one could be started. That opened a fundraising window for the governor, where normally you're limited to receiving donations of up to $10,000 under Wisconsin campaign finance law. But once you're being recalled, those campaign finance limits are out the window. So, you know, it looked like potentially this was sort of, nefarious here. But if you look practically, just kind of a cursory review of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's website of big donors, it doesn't look like this is an option that the governor pursued aggressively until Democrats started their recall. That is, he didn't really go out and get those $250,000 donations until after the 15th.
And briefly, Sean, people are estimating how much the recalls are going to cost, and it's going to be a couple bazillion, or how much?
Representative Robin Voss, a Republican representative, co-chair of the Budget Committee, asked the GAB, and they said it would cost $9 million between the cost for the state, counties, and municipalities to have a recall election.
A call from Brian in Eau Claire, who has a question. Hello, Brian.
Good morning.
Morning.
My question involves the redistricting that's happening in Wisconsin with our loss of a congressional seat. My understanding, I read online a brief or a ruling from a district court that directed that the Republican consultant to the legislature reveal his methods and sources on how they determined or came up with their current redistricting plan, and they've currently refused to comply with that court order, and the now the court order has been made a third time.
Hold on, Brian. First of all, clarification, we didn't lose a congressional seat. We did 10 years ago.
10 years, yeah. This time around, we keep all our congressional seat. But Brian's talking about a court order handed down from federal judges last week. Really, you know, very strongly worded court order directed at Republicans and their attorneys specifically, saying that they need to stop stonewalling the Democratic attorney's access to a consultant and legislative aides who worked on these maps. The lawyers for Democrats want to, you know, through discovery, ask them all sorts of questions about the nature of these maps, what went into them. And Republicans have said, specifically with one of the consultants that worked on it, because he works for a law firm, that there's an attorney-client privilege, even though he's not an attorney. The judges have said, no, you know, he's got to talk. And they've said this a few times now. And so the judges actually sanctioned the Republican attorneys last week, said, look, we mean this. You have to talk. And so that's where things stand on that. It's sort of a head scratcher because you think in these redistricting cases, I mean, the assumption is you can draw a pretty partisan map and it's legal generally. I mean, if one party controls everything, courts have generally said it's the duty of the legislature to draw these maps, even if they're partisan, we'll defer to you. So you wonder why, you kind of wonder what they're hiding here with preventing access to these people.
Sean, we have less than a minute before news. Mm-hmm. This week, there is going to be a public hearing up north.
There is.
On mining.
On the mining bill. It's going to be a second public hearing on the mining bill. They had one down in Milwaukee, and a lot of people, mining opponents in particular, were angry that they didn't hold it up in the area that would be affected. Democrats were going to hold one up there, and then Republicans kind of relented and say, okay, we'll have one up there. So it's going to be at Hurley on Wednesday.
Wednesday at 10 a.m., and we'll follow up on this and other news in state politics all week long. Sean, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Joy.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio, state government reporter. We will talk with Bill Leaders about Governor Walker coming up after this news.